Hi, Rachel. So welcome back. Here we are in our second week together. How lucky am I to have the opportunity to get to talk to you again?
Well, I think I'm could just talk
to you all day. I could talk to you all day. So last week, we had such a great conversation about living with loss one day at a time. And my listeners can't see that I'm holding up the book. And you're holding it up as well. And I have decided I'm going to send my copy to the friend that we talked about last week. So I wanted to save it for our conversation today. And then tomorrow off it goes into the post office.
Love it.
So today we're here and we're going to talk about your second book. Is it your second book?
I have a different one in there too for the workplace, but I would say from your listeners, I would say it would be my second book.
Yeah, that's what I see it as. And it's called Finding Peace, P-I-E-C-E, One Piece at a Time. So Rach, tell us, what does that mean? And how did you even get there?
So it's a play on words, and the whole concept of the book and the notion of it, I'm going to give you a little bit of history, but it's about what to do with yours and your loved ones' possessions, whether you're downsizing, right-sizing your home, or whether you have lost a loved one, or you have somebody that's in terminal illness and they're going to pass and you don't know what to do with their belongings. But I need to go back to tell you the history of why I even speak on the subject. And I want to give all the great aspects of how important it is to look at our possessions as an extension of us and how do we decide what to keep and not keep. But it all started in many years ago. I want to say 12 to 15 years ago, I started speaking at different conferences on the subject. I've been speaking for over 20 years, but on this particular topic, 12 to 15 years ago. And it all stemmed from a widow's group that asked me to present on what to do with some of these possessions. So we first called it cleaning out the closets. And while I thought that had a ring to it, I really learned that, especially as the organizers came along and all those notions of organizing came along, I think we lost the meaning of it. And what I meant by cleaning out the closet is, what do you really do if you lost, because it was a widow group, if you've lost your spouse, what do you do with all their belongings? And it's not just the closets of clothes, because that's probably the less invasive part of working through. It's the second property, it's the financial records, it's the memorabilia. There's just so much in there that's not in the closet. So we changed the title from heirlooms to underwear. Like, what do you do with all this? And we kind of cracked up on that, because the notion of that is, not only do you have maybe your spouse's belongings, you also have your spouse's parents' belongings in your garage or in your lower level of your house or in the third bedroom. So I started to work all around that. And I started using the concept of the art of downsizing and right-sizing, what to do with your home. And that's if there isn't a loss. And then the whole piece about it if you do have a loss. And both of those came up with the idea. My other book is Living with Loss One Day at a Time. And that's kind of instructional of, okay, you have this loss. Now you have to get up every day. And then this book, titling it Finding Peace One Piece at a Time, What to Do with Yours and Loved Ones' Possessions, is just that. A guide with stories of where do you begin? How do you put your arms around it? How is it, can you make it enjoyable is a little bit of too joyous of a word, but to get it to the point where these memories and these stories are so fulfilling, this is where I need to be right now. So I love the concept of it. It is so well received. Great in the whole real estate and financial markets, because our possessions are part of our portfolio. Even if they don't have value, they're part of our portfolio because they have emotional meaning.
So our portfolio isn't necessarily just made of our stocks. It's made of the things that we have in our home and the meanings that we apply to those things.
Correct. And the stories that are behind it and the legacy that should be shared.
Okay. So I want to correct myself. I have a little bit of a red face. Thank goodness I'm behind a microphone, because I tell everybody about the book and I misspoke at the beginning. It's Finding Peace, P-E-A-C-E, One Piece, P-I-E-C-E at a Time. And I apologize for that. I know better. I had a little moment of dyslexia, but the peace that comes, P-E-A-C-E, is what we're really focusing in on here. And that's one of the things that I've learned from you over the years as well. So something you just said a moment ago was, about beginning. And my question for you is, when somebody, you know, let's start with, because we talked last week about living loss one day at a time, let's tie this into, God forbid somebody should pass. Rachel, how do we even know where to begin?
So there's a couple things that I suggest in my presentations and in the book. Is the first thing is that we have to really acknowledge the fact that this person passed or this person is passing. Because I think sometimes when this person is ill, like let's just go to grandparents because there's a natural progression with grandparents. I mean, yes, it's devastating and sad, but there's a natural progression of that rather than a sudden or an untimely illness or untimely death. Is that they have a lot of knowledge of your history. They have a lot of knowledge of your legacy. They have a lot, you know, the belongings that they have are, there's just a connection to them. So I always like to tell people, not necessarily tell, but suggest to people that they don't wait till somebody passes to get involved in this. And I think what really unfortunately occurs is that when you try to have a conversation with your aging parents or your grandparents on this, leave me alone, I got this, leave me alone, is might be a response that you receive. It just has to be approached differently. Because if you're asking what the stories are behind the items, they'll engage 100%. There's so many other pieces of it. I'll give you a quick example that doesn't necessarily have meaning. But I was helping my mother-in-law with when she was downsizing to assisted living. And she had all these shoes, and everybody was trying to get her to clear out her shoes. And she said, no, 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 no. I love those shoes. Blah, blah, blah. But she was wearing shoes and walking with a walker. She was in a situation that was totally different, that she couldn't wear those shoes. So because I do this and because I go in people's homes and because I ask the questions, I just asked her straight out, what is it about those shoes? Tell me the story about those shoes. Tell me all about it. Tell me why you don't want those to be donated somewhere else. And she's, you know what her response was? I paid a lot of money for them. And that's all it was. And when I said to her, oh my gosh, Alton, if that's your challenge of not getting, you know, so you can make space on your shelf for your new shoes that fit you better and that you feel comfortable walking, what if I took them from my daughter? What if I gave them to a girlfriend that would be able to use them? She went like this and handed them to me. I know your readers can't, or your listeners can't see that I handed you the shoes, but it's not, most of the time, the reasons why we don't want to do something or they don't want to do something is because they don't know how. And that was your particular question, is how do you begin? So you begin by asking two questions when you have an item. Does it tell a story and does it provide a connection? And if it doesn't tell a story and it doesn't provide a connection, you don't need to keep it.
Provide a connection?
To the person.
What do you mean to the
person? So if I was cleaning out my grandmother's house, okay, and I grab something and I don't know the story behind it and she can't tell me the story behind it, she doesn't remember where she got it, what it was, and why she has it, or if it will not provide a connection to future generations, a cookbook provides a connection. Her favorite pan that she bakes her cake in provides. Her doily that she has next to her bed that you may not like in your house, but there's a connection because you always remember it next to your grandmother's bed. So there's stuff that provides a connection. In some of my presentations, I like to show a candy dish. So my husband grew up in Turkey and he would run into his grandmother's house and he would run to the candy dish for the candy as soon as he got there. So when they were cleaning out my mother-in-law's house, not even like his mother's house, we found this candy dish. And to him, all the connection he had was not to his mother, but to his grandmother, because he remembered as a kid having that candy dish at his grandmother's house. Now, it's not my decor, but it is definitely something that tells a story and it's something to keep, because the second that my husband saw that, his face lit up. That's a connection and that's a story.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking about so many things right now. Now you've just filled my mind. Let me just say one thing about the candy dish.
Go for it.
I too ended up with a candy dish. I have ended up with a lot of things. So that's a separate conversation. However, I don't just look at that candy dish as a candy dish. We actually use it in our bathroom and we keep our Q-tips in it.
Perfect. That is exactly. And so I talk about sorting, thinning, and repurposing. That's an example of repurposing an item. Oh my gosh, I put you in the stage and I put you in the audience and you just took it for me. See that?
See, It's a natural connection.
But I do talk about repurposing because
I think that that's an important thing for us to all be thinking about when we're listening and thinking about downsizing and helping folks sort of get through everything is don't just look at it for what it is staring back at you, but for what it might be. So for example, like I was the recipient of a lot of my grandmother's things and she had this dining room set and we've never used a formal dining room. We just aren't that way. But then we moved into this house and we don't have an eat-in kitchen. I built it out so that the three of us could sit at a bar. We don't have a table there. So we use our dining room now. Well, the dining room set, oh my God. I mean, it was just so not my style. But I had it painted. And friends were like, you can't paint that. It's an antique. And I said, my bubby would say, do with it as you will. Otherwise, it goes off to Joy's consignment. So I had it painted a shiny black. The buffet is a shiny black. And I had I gave away one of the big, what do we call those things that we keep the china in?
Like an armoire kind of.
Yeah.
So I gave the big cabinet. Kind of thing.
I gave the big one away and I had the small one painted black and the inside has a fuchsia in it. And the fuchsia is from my grandmother's dishes.
So
the dishes are in there and it pulls out the fuchsia and now it looks like a robin piece and not a Dinah piece. And that is helpful, but I love that there's a story and look what's happening. Immediately, I'm telling you the story of the furniture versus the dining room table and chairs we just got rid of. There was no story to them. There's a story here and I could hang up with you right now because it's done. Story is everything.
And connection, because that even as though it's black, you still have a connection to your grandmother because of the fuchsia that you're using. So you think of your grandmother every time you walk by it.
Absolutely.
That's the point. And you think of your grandmother every time you clean your ears.
Every time I clean my ears.
So that's so the point.
Because
that's...
I needed to be able to hear her. She used to say to me, Robla, get your, she'd say, move your hair out of your eye. And are you listening to me?
Perfect. It's perfect. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is that when you ask me, where do you start? I can talk about what room. Always start in the garage, especially if someone has passed. But, you know, in the garage or in the third bedroom, because those are the least emotional places because you don't even know what's in there. But if you're walking through with your person that's still living and you're moving them, downsizing, right-sizing, stay present because their extension span is going to be so much less. And if you could get some ideas of the daily things and stuff that means something, get that story. But so my two questions to ask for every item to find peace, because that's what we're looking at, is one, does it tell a story? And two, does it provide a connection? And the three words to use along the way are sorting, thinning, and repurposing and not cleaning out.
Oh,
because cleaning out means you're throwing away.
Sorting, thinning
and repurpose. So you just told me in the 10 minutes that we've been together, you've told me two stories of repurposing. You repurpose the dining room set and you repurpose the candy bowl.
Okay. So sorting, how do we sort? I don't know about you, but when I just downsized my folks, oh my gosh, we didn't even know where to begin.
So here's an example when I work with widows that I suggest. And so if it doesn't matter male or female who's passed or what the spouse partner, it all goes together. But if you take an item of clothing, the ones that I like to use because you could get a pure visual of it is t-shirts and hats. So a lot of people have too many hats and too many t-shirts, right? So the pile, let's say I walk into your house and you have 100 t-shirts, right? They don't all have meaning. So sorting and thinning of it, you thin them out. Okay. You sort through them and you thin them out. You're going to get from 100 to 75 in 2 seconds, 2 minutes.
Okay.
You're going to get a struggle a little bit to get from 75 to 50. And then you're going to really have to start thinking at 50. So what have you done? You've reduced by 50% without cleaning out or clearing out.
Oh boy, Rachel, that is incredible. Sorting, thinning, and repurposing. Wow. What if you're with someone, excuse me, who says, that t-shirt is so important to me and they can't sort and they can't thin. How do encourage?
They kept one t-shirt or two t-shirts. I have a rod box. My husband's been gone for 27, almost 30 years now. I have a rod box and I have some stuff in there. I've thinned it out over the years, but I have some shirts in there that no one else will have any meaning towards that. I just see it and I just remember that moment and I wasn't ready to release it. I talk about in my book about his grad school paper that I have that I keep and it's in my rod box. However, I've never read it. It means nothing to me, but for some reason I couldn't release that because I know he worked how hard he worked on it and probably stayed up all night typing it because there weren't computers. So I kept it because it wasn't worthy of the trash for Rachel. Now, if it was Robin, you doing that, you might have thought, okay, I'm not going to save that. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to get rid of everything because you're keeping the items that tell the story or provide a connection. And for some reason that provided a connection to him because I could feel him and see him at a typewriter.
Okay.
You know, so that you just keep, it's not my place to tell you what to keep. It's my place to help you sort thin and repurpose some of the items. And if you could thin out a household from a 4-bedroom to a 2-bedroom, you're more than successful.
That's what I just did with Mom and Bob. We thinned them down. Oh, they were, I think it was almost the death of all of us, but they had lived in a house for 27 years, 5 bedrooms, 4 baths, and they went into a 2-bedroom condo and what to take. Oh my God, their whole, like even in the, we did do a little bit, I think, of what you just said, and that is there were some things they just could not let go of yet.
But it doesn't matter.
That's what I said to my mom. Mommy, stop. Put it in the box, and we're going to label the box, and we're going to put the box in the garage, in the basement, you know, wherever they park now. They have one of those cages. We'll put it in there, and some snowy Milwaukee day, you'll pull it out,
and we'll go through it then.
Don't worry about it now. But the luggage, they must have had 17 pieces of luggage. See ya, out of here. Oh, here's one more repurpose. My mom had, how many dishes did we have? How many dishes does she have? How many dishes do I have? So she had my grandmother's set of dishes. And she said, I don't want them anymore. Do you want them? And I said, I already have Bubbies and I don't need them. We tried to sell them. Nobody wanted them. So I said to her, Mom, how about if you eat off the dishes? And we get you fun, colorful napkins. They're white with gold. And then you use them. So she took her dishes with her, but I wonder if she's using them. I'll have to ask.
But it's amazing because growing up, you and I, you can't put it in the dishwasher. You only could use it on certain occasions. But at the end of the day, nobody wants it. The dishwasher's fine. You know, we have this leftover from our previous generation that we take with us. And that's where I talk about in my book is that putting a team together, because not always are you the right, well, I know your personality is fine to be with your parents, but not always are people's personalities the right personalities to help their parents or family members thin, sort, and repurpose their stuff. They're too close, especially if there's 2 siblings involved. One might be a keeper and one might be a getter-ridder. You like that term?
So I do.
Get a ritter.
We need a ritter.
Yeah. And so I like to work with, you know, I'm a third party person and I have an opinion and I could just say to you, Robin, what does that have meaning for you? And you could say, oh, I have no idea. And then your sister, she could say, you know what? That was from our childhood. That was on the kitchen table. And I remember it on the counter. And every time I had to wash the table, she wants it. You don't have to get rid of it. She wants it. She has a memory around it.
Okay. Wow.
I know, it's exhausting, Rachel. Isn't it? Yeah.
It's a very big thing, but we haven't even what?
We haven't even moved an item and we're exhausted.
Yeah. So how do you do this? And you said in the very beginning about, you know, keeping your energy up, not losing momentum. How does one do that through this process?
So there's 2 different pieces. There's the what I call the art of downsizing and right sizing is the person's alive and they're healthy. And you're just what you just explained, that you're moving from a 4 or 5 bedroom house to a 2-bedroom condo. That's one piece of it. The other piece of it is if somebody has passed, because now you're sorting through someone else's belongings. You're not helping somebody sort through their own belongings. So there's 2 different pieces. The process is probably the same for both. But just know that the emotions are going to be slightly different and the people that are involved have different opinions of it. But if you keep to the idea of the 2 questions that I asked, does it have a connection, does it provide a story? And if you think of it instead of clearing out and cleaning out, you think of it as downsizing, I'm not downsizing, sorry, sorting, thinning, or repurposing, you're going in with a more positive attitude. You're going into that this isn't a Debbie Downer. This isn't actually going to be, it could be a very fun way of learning about my ancestors or about my legacy. Just change your tune a little bit to something that's a bit more positive. And then it's not as daunting. So that's one thing you start with. In my book, I talk about putting together a team of some people to help you. And me, like for you, you helped your parents. Now, if there was some, or helped your mom, you know, your legacy. Maybe you weren't the right, I mean, I think you were the right person to do it, but let's just say that you weren't the right person to do it. That somebody else can do it for you, friend, family member, somebody that's a little bit more objective to it, instead of saying, oh my gosh, you have 20 pairs of shoes, can you only take 10? You know, there's those kind of things. Now, you say that to your mom, she may, you know, she might get mad at you. I say something to your mom, like in that line that says, you know what, which are your, because it's all about the questions that you ask. It's really, if you're helping somebody, which are your favorite shoes? Do any of those hurt your feet? Do you feel stable in all those shoes? You just ask those questions and you've gone from 20 shoes to 10 shoes.
So in the book, Rachel, do you have a list of questions for folks to ask?
No, but I tell enough stories. That's a good idea. I could do that, the list of questions, but it really depends on the item and they're always different. But I tell a lot of stories about how to just work through instead of attacking, and I don't use that word, but just challenging, that's a good word. Instead of challenging the person you're helping, try to connect with the person that you're helping.
Yeah,
because they're gonna. It's really hard. It's an art for sure. That's why I call it the art of downsizing and right sizing. It's an art. It is not a direct one. You can just write these five questions, because the five questions that I ask you, you may have nothing to do with your family,
right?
But it's really if you're connected to the item, keep it. I kept my daughter's crib for 13 years because she was 2 when my husband passed away, and I never had another kid. And I moved it to different states, and I moved it so many times, and I was remarried and still moved it. And I had to do that, and that's just the way it is. And you could call me a Looney Tune, but if your listeners call me a Looney Tune, I'll tell them, ask them what they've kept. That, you know, you kept your mother, your grandmother's dining room table that should have been gone to an antique store, and you repurposed it, and you feel great about it.
Yeah.
So yes. It's all about the eye of the beholder.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
So one of the things that you mentioned is maybe somebody hasn't passed, right? That's a tender conversation. Like when I go to visit my mom and she wants us to start with the stickers. Do you know about the stickers?
Yeah, one way. There's a lot of sticker ideas, but yeah.
Yeah. She, you know, I want to make sure that it's super fair with my brother. And Bob's got 2 kids. I said to my brother, I do not want to fight with you over stuff. It's just stuff. You want it, zygazunt, you should have it. Like, there's very few things. We'll all get something that will have a story and a connection.
There's so many.
I want to understand what's important to them as well. So while they're alive and well, and my mom wants to have this conversation, it's a difficult conversation to have because it signals that she's not going to be here forever.
But it's a presentation of asking the questions. For example, I want to make sure that clock that's been on my mantle my whole life. Mom, can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I want to make sure Addie and Addie's children understand how important that clock is. It's a totally different question than who gets this when you die.
Can you say that one more time, please?
So there's a clock on the mantle. Okay. Yep. And instead of saying to your mother, who gets this?
Yes.
When I die, or when she dies, because now you're killing her off, so to speak, right?
Right.
Right. You do it differently.
Poo-poo-poo.
Mom, can we walk through some of these items that have been in your house that I remember from my childhood? And can you tell me the stories behind it so that I could tell Addie and Addie's kids can know? And so then she'll come back and start telling you the story. And then you get to decide with your siblings who gets that. If you could get to the point with who does connect to it. And in the example of the clock, I do have a family that when they learned the history of it, that one brother liked it more than the other brother because they were more connected to that side of the family. It's amazing how it falls out.
Wow, is that helpful. I am going to make a little note of that for sure. When I helped my dad clean out the condo, he had
clear
a lot
out.
Of art.
No clean out, clear out. Change your clear. Vocabulary, change your vocabulary.
Okay, tell me the difference between clean and clear.
Cleaning means that you could be getting rid of, or cleaning means something's dirty. Clearing and sorting and thinning means you're clearing it and putting it somewhere else. It's all in terms that doesn't make a a face up. Like if you go to Disney World or like I work on Vail Resorts, you don't ever say the word no. There's just certain ways of doing things that are extraordinary customer service, but you're not doing anything. It's just about some, when you say no to somebody, you know, like you say, no, we're not keeping all those shoes. All they hear is no. They don't hear anything about the shoes. But if you say, you know what, let's keep 10 pairs of shoes, it's totally different because then they're going to go pick their 10 favorite shoes. It's all in presentation, especially if they're elderly.
Isn't it always?
Which
is why we want to keep the bowl.
That's why you want to keep the bowl, have clean ears. Yeah, exactly.
It's all in the presentation.
Right.
All right, Rachel, I want to be respectful of your time because we could talk about this all day. If there's something you want listeners to remember, one thing from today, what would that one thing be?
That let's not get caught up on, because we're talking about finding peace one piece at a time, what to do with yours and your loved one's possessions. And as I said, in the book, I do talk about different ideas that hopefully cater to all different audiences. Feel pretty confident it does. But if I were to have you take away anything from today, is please don't think of it as daunting. If you're helping your parents or if you're like you've lost a loved one, please don't think of it as daunting. Think of it as a connection and memories and like, you know, just try to look at the possessions a little bit differently and ask positive questions that are maybe not necessarily yes or no, but there's an engagement. So it's not people don't get defensive. So that's my real takeaway is that there's an art to it. And of course, I'm always available to answer any of those questions, but there's an art to it. So just you try to do it with, you know, compassion and encouragement and just make it feel good and feel right as opposed to sad and daunting.
And patience.
Patience. Pack it. Eat. Get out in the sunshine. Yes. Take a break. Yes. All that stuff. I talk about all that in the book is that you got to take a break.
Okay. Wow. Thank you for coming back for a second week in a row. We've
Love
talked
it.
About, you know, from here to there and everything in between. All right. So in the show notes, everyone, I'm going to put a link to Rachel's book, a link to Rachel's website. Yes, Rachel, is that the best way for folks to find you?
You can fill out a form. Yep.
Okay. And if you have any more questions, you can reach Rachel that way. And I know she will always be available and helpful. All right, Rach, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Take good care, and I'll be in touch because I want to get a little help from you on sorting, thinning, and repurposing some of the things that I'd like to pass on as well.
Sounds great.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.